Yeah. Is my microphone on? Can you hear me out there? It was good to see a couple new folks on the worship team this morning. Mary on the keyboards did a great job. Let's hear it for Mary. Super. And we had a guest drummer today, Cody. Thank you so much for doing that. Really, really appreciate it. Very, very much. Well, I'm excited about this new series that we're doing here at Christmas time called Make Room. Didn't Natalie do a great job starting us off last week with Make Room? What a wonderful message that was. Excellent, excellent job. She just read the passage from John the Baptist. And I don't know about you, but when I think of John the Baptist, I just think of a kind of a fire and brimstone guy. You know, he eats locusts and wild honey. Seems like a wild man. And so he's going to kind of start our series off this morning. But the passage that she read this morning began with some key words, and it was this: in those days. When you read those words, in those days, it kind of has the understanding that something has happened because of those days. I almost hear it almost like the beginning of a testimony that somebody's given. You know, in those days, I was addicted to drugs, but then. In those days, I was going through life without purpose, but then. In those days, I was playing a religious game, but people didn't know the real me, but then. In those days, I was clueless about what would make my life better, but then this happened. This guy named John the Baptist came out into the wilderness and began preaching. His message was, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. If you're taking notes in your worship guide, there's a place on the back of the life events where you can take notes this morning. When we think of John's message, as I already said, we tend to think of it in harsh terms, but I think John gets a bad rap. We see him as this just fire-breathing brood of vipers. Some of the toughest language that you see in the New Testament is used by John. But what I want you to notice is that he doesn't begin his message that way. He doesn't start out by calling people a brood of vipers. He starts out very simply with an invitation. He says, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent of your sins is actually a very kind message when you think of it. And he's not saying, it's not, you know, as we think, turn or burn. Get right or get left. He's saying, repent because something really good is getting ready to happen. The kingdom of heaven is near. And the reason that we need to repent, and in keeping with our theme for this series, I think what John is saying, and if you're taking notes this morning, repentance is making room for something greater. I love the way that the passage reads. It said, clear the road for him. There's some road clearing that needs to be done so that we can make room for Jesus. So repentance isn't even always necessary just getting rid of bad things in our lives. Sometimes repentance means moving aside even some good things for something that greater that is coming. And so he says to them, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And then the Bible says that he came to the wilderness. And I think this is significant that John the Baptist came to the wilderness. It's not a likely place to preach. You would think he would be preaching in the temples. But instead he comes out to the wilderness, and in your notes this morning, the wilderness is a metaphor for the outsideness of God. That God works outside of our ways that we normally think that God should work. That God works outside of the ways that we think that he should work. God is not limited to our holy places. Our free speech zones. God comes to us in the margins. He comes to us in the wilderness. He comes to places in life which are inherently unsafe, which are outside of our control, and remind us that we are so not in control. And so he comes into the wilderness, the outsideness of God. How many know that you can't put God in a box? He likes to surprise us, and so he comes to this this place called the wilderness. As I was studying for this message, I read a quote by Caroline Lewis, a preaching professor, and she says, "To what extent have we tamed our wilderness? Have we forgotten that it is from the wilderness that we preach? Have decided in favor of blandness instead of boldness, harmlessness instead of audaciousness, evenness instead of fearlessness?" John the Baptist was audacious, he was fearless, and he comes to the wilderness. And if we're not careful, we can really become tamed. So what does it mean to make room this Christmas for us at Life Church? Life Church here in Knoxville, Tennessee, 2016. What would it mean? What would it look like for us to make room for Jesus? Now, when the wilderness, when the religious people come along, that's when he does get tough. That's when he says, and it's interesting because it says that the Pharisees, and some of the Pharisees and Sadducees came to watch. It says those in the wilderness, first they came to be baptized, but there's another group that came to watch. And John has a hard time with people who just come to watch. Did you come to receive or did you come to watch? You know, we can be guilty of that in church, can't we? Come to receive or come to watch. But I would say, this is my own assessment of Life Church and who we are as a people and a church. I don't think that we're really too much in that second group of people that he's lambasting and calling a brood of vipers. If you need that message this morning, I'll just give you a phrase in my sermon, turn or burn, okay? If you needed to hear that, that's for you this morning, all right? If you're really religious and you've come to watch and you've come to be critical, I'll just say with John this morning, get right or get left, all right? But I don't think that's the message for most of us today. I was talking to a guy from that I'd picked up in my Uber car the other day from Saudi Arabia, and I was telling him about Life Church. I said, "Hey, you ought to come visit our church up in North Knoxville called Life Church." He goes, "Well, I'm not religious." I said, "Oh, that's awesome, because I'm not either." I said, In fact, I said, religion can make people mean, can't it? The guy looked at me like I was from Mars. And he was like, "Well, yeah, you know." And so we started this conversation, you know. And there is, by the way, a good meaning of the word religion. Religion, it comes from the word religio, which means to bind together. And blessed be the tie that binds us together. I'm glad to be bound with people. And religion, in the best sense of the word, pure religion and undefiled, is to visit the fatherless and care for the orphans and all of that. So there is a good meaning of religious, but I knew what he meant when he said, "I'm not religious." And there's a sense in which you're not a very religious bunch. So I'm going to give you the first part of John's message, all right? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Make room in your hearts for something that's greater. What would it mean if we today were to make room for Jesus? And so C.S. Lewis, he talks about two Christmases. If you're looking on the slides, I think it's the next slide here. And C.S. Lewis says that Xmas and Christmas are not the same thing. He said the pictures that are stamped on the Xmas cards have nothing to do with the story. I picked up another guy from Egypt the other day. Had just moved here with his wife from Egypt. And he's going to be the new food manager at the Marriott. And his wife wore the hijab, is that what they call it? The headdress, full Muslim guard and all that. But he was talking to me with excitement about how fun it was for he and his family to go watch the lighting of the Christmas tree on Gay Street in downtown Knoxville. And that was so awesome for them. And what he was talking about was what he has picked up from America, which really has been it all throughout the world, and that is this celebration of Xmas. And I'm not against Xmas, by the way. I celebrate Xmas. But there are two Christmases. And the one that is stamped on our cards has nothing to do with the sacred story. I love the celebration of Xmas. We in our house love to give gifts. We love to give gifts to one another, and that is one of our Christmas traditions, that we give gifts to one another. But what happened to our bucket here, Mel? Do what? Other side? Right here, yeah. It's a wonderful tradition that we love and our family loves and we celebrate every, and we're going to celebrate it again this year. But if we're careful, it can become the priority. And so if I'm going to really do what John the Baptist did, I'm going to have to make room and I'm going to have to deprioritize these things, and it can't be the only thing that I celebrate. Now, I know that a lot of Christians give Santa Claus a hard time, but I love Santa. I love Santa very, very much, and I still believe, so. This is my favorite Santa, and it reminds me that Santa Claus is not for one culture. This is my black Santa, and I love him. And Santa has been a very important part of our lives, throughout our lives, and we've brought our kids to tell Santa what they wanted for Christmas, and we've taught them the naughty and nice stories and all of that kind of stuff. And it was a wonderful way for us to sort of underscore some of the values that we have. But John the Baptist comes along and says, Santa's a good thing. Santa's a good thing, but you're going to have to even deprioritize old Santa Claus to make room for something that's better. Poor Santa, he just fell over. We've got these beautiful pictures that we put up at Christmas time, and those are wonderful, but if we're going to celebrate Christmas, I'm going to have to make room. Now, one of the things, we have these Xmas traditions that we did every year when our kids were growing up. We would go to this place in West Frankfort, Illinois, called Candy Cane Lane. Now, if you've been to Shadrach's over in, anybody know what I'm talking about? Shadrach's over in Sevierville? It's the big light show over by the ballpark. If you've not seen it, you've got to see it. It's amazing. It must be millions of lights that are set up, and that when you drive through it, you turn on the radio to a certain radio station frequency, and all the lights are blinking in synchronization to the music that you're hearing. It's absolutely fabulous, fabulous. But we, when we were growing up, took our kids to Candy Cane Lane. It was not like Shadrach's. It was a redneck Shadrach's, all right? This one costs nothing. And people put the most garish Christmas decorations up in there. I put one of them. You can see this guy's garage is open. It's full of Christmas stuff everywhere. They've got lights up. It's like a fire hazard waiting to happen. But every year on Christmas, we would drive through Candy Cane Lane and look at the lights. And it was part of our tradition. But not only did we do that, whoa! Sorry about that. I'm okay. For those of you listening on the radio, everything's fine. One of the traditions after we would do that was we would go to a restaurant called Hungry's. Melanie, you might want to help me with this. And we would make hot chocolate. How many of you like hot chocolate? There was something about going on a cold night in Illinois to Candy Cane Lane and doing that that was just absolutely incredible. Do we have the whipped cream?
Yeah, you dropped it.
I dropped the whipped cream. I can't drop the whipped cream. And we would go to Hungry's because cream on top of the hot chocolate. And we would enjoy that. Yeah, stir it up real good. And this is part of our Christmas tradition. Wonderful. Anybody here like hot chocolate? Would really maybe want one this morning? I got an extra one here. Who wants one? Good whipped cream. All right, right back there. The Aguirres. This was part of our Xmas tradition. So even last night we did a new one. We went to a home show here in Knoxville. Do I have whipped cream all over my face? But anyway, we went to a home show in Knoxville, and and we looked at all of these beautiful homes and the way that they had decorated their houses. And then afterwards, Ben noticed that the red light was on at Krispy Kreme. And so when the red light's on, it means the donuts are hot. And we went and got hot donuts and tried to get hot chocolate, but the hot chocolate machine was out. But we celebrated a great Xmas tradition. So hot chocolate is definitely a part of ours. And having lots of parties in our home where you bring out the fancy dishes. You know, you don't use the paper plates for once, but you bring the nice dishes. And so we would do that. But John the Baptist would say, you know, no matter how wonderful your traditions are, you need to make room. So this is when you get out the sparkling grape juice, right? And serve it at Christmas time. And so we would. All of these were wonderful, wonderful Xmas traditions that we enjoyed as a family. But as I thought about what John the Baptist was doing, he was baptizing people in the Jordan River. And we talked a couple weeks ago when we talked about how important baptism was. In fact, I preached a sermon called Baptism, It's Kind of a Big Deal. Well, now I'm going to give you the other side of the story of that. Baptism is a big deal, but to play with the water metaphor of baptism, baptism is the bath water. And all of these traditions that we do are the bath water of Christmas. The lights that we see, Santa Claus, all of the wonderful traditions that we have, and whatever your culture is or however you celebrate this Christmas, that's all part of the bathwater. But John the Baptist was saying, as wonderful as this, I'm going to baptize you, but don't think that your baptism is enough. Because there's one coming after me who's greater than I, whose shoes I'm not even worthy to unloose, and you better get ready for the baby and not throw out the baby for the bathwater. So I would say that in all of our Christmas traditions, our family would tell you that as wonderful as it was to go to the Christmas lights in Candy Cane Lane and all of that, the reason that those were wonderful to us and the reason that those traditions shine in our heart is because not only did we have the baby or the bathwater, but we had the baby that was living in our heart. And the bathwater becomes meaningful when you have the baby. C.S. Lewis also said, well, what a terrible thing it would be to have always winter and no Christmas. That all of life would be winter with no Christmas. And having the baby and understanding the one who was to come, who was greater, whose sandals he was not even worthy to unloose. The bathwater means nothing without the baby. That's what John the Baptist would say to us. John's role, if you're taking notes, was to make sure we didn't miss the baby for the bathwater. And so, Judy made a beautiful display out in the lobby that I stole half of it from her for my sermon this morning. Because the way that I want to start my portion of this series is to say, as we're making room this Christmas, and I said, make room, dot, dot, dot. You can fill in the dot. We need to make room for the manger. Make room for the manger. C.S. Lewis also said, I believe in Christ like I believe in the sun, not because I can see it, but by it, I can see everything. I believe in Christ like I believe in the sun, not because I can see it, but by it I can see everything. And I thought it would be good to start our series, or my portion of the series, by saying at the very outset, and I'll ask the worship team to come. At the very outset, I want to say, as we celebrate all of our Xmases, all of the bathwater that goes around our Christmas celebration, things that people can celebrate who don't even understand the real meaning of it, in all of our celebrations, the simple word that God gave me to share with us this morning is don't miss the manger. Make room for the manger in your hearts. The great family tradition that we have, in spite of all of those things that I mentioned, is that on Christmas morning, we open the King James Bible to Luke chapter 2, and we begin reading, In those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And we tell the story of Jesus being born in the manger. We all go around the room and talk about what we're thankful for and what God's done for us that year. And all of the Courier and Ives Christmas card stuff and Shadrach's and Candy Cane Lane and hot chocolate and all your parties need to be informed by the manger. When I was in junior high, we had to do a project in my public school about Christmas. And they were all doing Xmas projects. They were all doing something for the class. And in my little junior high way, I wanted to give a witness in my class about the importance of what Christmas was all about. So when it was my turn, I got two of my buddies were on my team, and they made me do all the work. They didn't care about it, but we had a little cardboard shoebox with a little baby in it. Turned off all the lights in the classroom, and we had a flashlight go across the ceiling for the wise men to follow, the star. And when it got over in my little junior high, when it got right over the little shoebox with the little baby in it, I read my first original poem that went like this. Friends and students, lend me your ears, for I have something that you should hear. On this Christmas day so near, let the Lord Jesus bring you cheer. It isn't Santa and his reindeer. It isn't parties with wine and beer. It is when Jesus was born in a little stable right by the corn. And that was the first great Christmas morn. Amen. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. And in just sort of a light way this morning, we've tried to bring out the message of John the Baptist, to make room in our hearts, Lord, for what Christmas is all about and for what it really means. And man from Egypt, may he know that Christmas is more than just the lighting of the gay street. For the lost man in Knoxville, may they know that it's more than just celebrating Santa Claus. For those of us who tour the home shows, for those of us who will be attending work parties, may we know, Lord, that what infuses all of that was that you came to an obscure place. You came to those that were in the margins. You came to the wildernesses of our lives. You're the God who is outside. And you came to us. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen.